Hey everyone, welcome to episode 2 of Entrepreneurial Secrets. I'm super excited for this, and I know that this recording is going to be a lot better considering I don't have waves in the background and a breeze coming through right now. So look, I'm excited for this, and we'll talk to you, I guess, after the intro.
We live in pretty crazy times, and I'm not talking about a virus. I'm talking about a modern global economy that is shifting all around us, an expanding government that is printing money, and unemployment numbers that have not been seen in modern history. But what does this mean for us? I see it as an opportunity, a calling to solve the problems around us. It is my philosophy that in life, we always have a choice. You can stay down or get back up. But when you choose to get back up, you're choosing the path less traveled. The path where failure and growth are required and progression is the only outcome. Look, I'm no expert and I'm definitely not your guru, but join me as I learn what it takes to be a change maker, a leader, a visionary, an entrepreneur. My name is Ryan Peterson and welcome to Entrepreneurial Secrets.
All right, so listen, today I want to talk a little bit about, the power of learning and the power of a coach or a teacher in that process, because really there's a couple stories I want to tell and a couple people I want to kind of showcase and talk about in this episode that have impacted my life greatly in this area. So if you don't know me, I served a 2-year service mission for my church over in Fresno, California, and I was a Spanish-speaking missionary. And so I got to work with a lot of amazing people over there. But one of the people that I worked with that was quite amazing is actually my mission president. So he was the gentleman who's kind of in charge of the mission or the area and the missionaries that are there. And his name was Larry Gelwicks. And if you don't know who Larry Gelwicks is, look up the movie Forever Strong. Highly recommend you watch it. But the movie is great. Larry Gelwicks is he was a coach of the Highland rugby team in Utah. And they went, I believe when he finished his record, 900 some odd wins and I think just 10 losses at the end. Don't quote me on that. I've spoken with him a little bit and hoping to get him on a podcast here soon to actually speak to you guys, because he has some amazing stories and some really great things to talk about. So, cross my fingers that we can get that happening soon. But he was an amazing man and he taught us a lot of things. One of the things he taught us in particular was he would say this quote. I mean, he had a ton of quotes, a lot of great stories. And one of the quotes that he would recite to us was that there are two types of pains in the world. There's the pain of hard work and there's the pain of regret. The pain of hard work is sweaty, it's hard, it's laborious, it's dirty, and it's exhausting. But at the end of the day, that pain goes away. It's replaced with, something satisfying, something worthwhile. But the pain of regret, while at first you might not feel the pain, it is an everlasting pain. He would say that it's a pain that doesn't go away. It's a pain that will stick with you over the long haul. And this quote, whether it was him saying it or whether he was quoting someone else, really is probably the number one thing that stuck with me during my time serving over there. And it's been a kind of a guiding principle for me in my life, especially with going to school, working, everything I'm doing. I'm trying to understand the difference between the pain of hard work and the pain of regret. I want to get to my deathbed at the end of my life and have no regrets. I know that sounds cliche. I know it sounds maybe a little unrealistic, and I'm sure everyone's going to have some things they regret in their life. But for the things that matter, for the important things in my life, my goal since that time when I heard that quote has been to not have pains of regret. And to be honest, I don't have any. So understanding the two different types of pain, the pain of hard work and the pain of regret, kind of leads me to my next story, which is about snowboarding. And when I was trying to learn snowboarding, so I in fifth grade, where I grew up in Teton Valley, a beautiful area, like I probably mentioned before, but we lived below a ski hill called Targhee, Grand Targhee Ski Resort. Some of the best skiing around. And I skied from like kindergarten through, sixth grade. And I'll tell you this, in my school every year did something that was called winter sports. Now that means, you know, during the months of like end of January through February, so maybe 5 or 6 weeks, one day a week, we would have like a half day, maybe less than that. And then we'd take the rest of the day and we got to choose a winter sport activity. And, you know, some of those activities were photography or cooking. They had a chess group. They also had bowling. You could go do bowling. But one of the activities which most everyone did in the high school was skiing and snowboarding. And I chose skiing because snowboarding really wasn't an option. They didn't allow you to do snowboarding until you were in like fifth or sixth grade, because at the time it was really becoming a newer thing, a popular thing that people were doing, but skiing was the big thing at the time. But fifth grade came around and I had the option to learn how to snowboard. And I said, yeah, I want to do it. All the cool kids snowboard, you know? And so I tried to do snowboarding, and the first day was rough, really rough. Snowboarding is definitely not like skiing. If you've done both, you know, they're completely different. And I don't think I was ready for that. And I'm really tall. So if you know me, I have always been the tallest in my class. I currently am 6'8". I'm done growing, so I guess I am 6'8" tall, but it doesn't help when you're trying to balance on a board. And so I'm trying to learn how to snowboard, and all these other students in my class are picking it up so much faster than I am. I remember falling, and just my wrists were killing me by the end of the day. And so I had an option to drop out of snowboarding and go back into skiing after the first week, and I did that. So I in a sense quit snowboarding. I was like, man, this is way too hard. Skiing is fun. I love going fast. Skiing, you can go fast and down that hill. I'm not a trickster. You know, I don't do tricks on snowboards or skis, but man, do I love to go fast. But you know, I finished that season out, the, you know, winter sports with the school, not having learned how to snowboard. And a number of my friends did learn how to snowboard and were doing great at it. But what they did with winter sports is they paired you up in groups. So you really were in a class with, you know, 10 to 12 other students learning how to snowboard or ski or whatever. And that was rough. You didn't get one-on-one attention. You didn't understand what was going on. And so, you know, it was hard. But I end up quitting, said it's just too hard. Well, later I just remember sitting there being like, man, I hate that I quit. It felt wrong. It was one of those moments I had a regret. You know, I regretted quitting snowboarding. And not just because I felt like snowboarding would be more fun, but because I didn't like the feeling of quitting. And I remember that next year, that next season, winter season, my parents, you know, I told them I really wanted to snowboard. They decided to put me in a lesson, a private lesson with an instructor there at the ski hill. And in one day, I went from not knowing how to snowboard to being able to get down the hill and carve back and forth and do in one day what the other students in my class had learned in, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. I had caught up to them in my ability to snowboard just by one day of personalized direct instruction from a coach that knew what they were doing. And I snowboarded that next season, and I've actually snowboarded since. I've never gone back to skiing. I love skiing. You know, it was a ton of fun, but Man, being on a snowboard, you just feel like you're floating and flying at the same time. It's a great feeling, but wish I had more time for it now. But I know that what I was able to do by taking that pain and that regret and using it to fuel my passion to learn was beneficial. And I've tried to take that experience and apply it into my life in other areas. I don't view myself as a quitter. There are things I've done in my life that I go down certain paths and I realize it's the wrong path, whether it's for me or for people around me. I realize it's the wrong path. And I'm not afraid at that point to stop, turn around, and go a different direction. I don't personally view it as quitting. I view it as change. I'm learning. I'm growing. But just to straight up quit and say it's hard and I can't do it because it's hard, that's not me. And I guess what I'm getting at is it shouldn't be you either. You know, if you want to learn a new skill or to grow in ways you've never grown before, it requires you to do things you've never done before. And I felt like, you know, the last couple of years, I've really been learning a ton about online marketing, about, you know, business and things that have really made me grow in ways that I never thought were possible. But I recently have felt like I've hit a wall. And that's one of the reasons for this podcast is to really take that wall and knock it down. Take what I'm scared to do, which is to publish, to put myself out there is scary. To talk with you here on this podcast is scary. To really try to do this type of new thing is scary. And I know you're probably sitting there thinking it can't possibly be that bad, but try it out sometime. If, you know, if you're a guy like me, it is kind of scary. And so I'm really excited to be doing this and just to learn along with you, as well as to share some of the things that I've learned myself and to bring on experts that are really going to help you out as well as myself, because I believe that having a coach and someone that can teach you that's already been down the path that you want to go down is what you need to do in order to actually succeed, to find that success. And so I'll be definitely bringing on different, you know, experts and coaches and people in this space that can build up your knowledge base and my knowledge base as well. So there's one last quote, I guess, that kind of fits along with all of this that I really want to tie it in together. And it's by C.S. Lewis. And he says, the next best thing to being wise is to live in a circle of those who are. The next best thing to being wise is to live in a circle of those who are. I don't think there have been truer words spoken when you are trying to grow and learn, whether it's, you know, being quote wise, like his quote mentions, or learning a new skill. You need to put yourself around and near the people who are able to do and learn and have already done what you're trying to do. And so I guess that's just my advice. I know there's another quote out there, you know, that says you're the average of the five people you spend most time with. I think those quotes are saying the exact same thing, just with different words. And so look, thanks for listening. Really, like I said, really excited to do this. One thing that'll really help me out is if you rate and review the podcast. You know, if you absolutely hate it, give it a 1-star and all caps, yell at me, tell me it's a horrible podcast. Great. I'm looking for the feedback. If you think it's great, 5 stars helps me out, obviously. But and subscribe. If you guys want to be notified when new episodes go live, hit subscribe. Anyway, thank you so much for your time and thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Hey, wasn't that great? Thank you so much for listening. I hope you got something of value out of today's episode. I recently reached out to a number of marketing and sales experts to see what they were doing to be in the top 1% of entrepreneurs. Now, a lot of them got back to me and I was able to interview them and ask them what secrets and strategies they were using in their business. A lot of these entrepreneurs are doing 7 figures a year and really know their stuff. The responses I received were astonishing.
In fact, they were so mind-blowing that I decided to turn my video interviews with them into a free virtual summit. If you want to watch the summit for free and learn what strategies the top 1% of entrepreneurs are using to market and sell their products, then head over to 1%summit.com. Again, that is 1%summit.com to get your free ticket to the virtual summit.